All right, got some new stairs up here. Yeah. Wanted to give a special shout out. That's good. A special shout out to Steve Bell. We realized we had some needs regarding our stage and our setup. You might have noticed the drums are in the middle now, and we've got some more space. We've got stairs to walk up the front. So this is all the work of Steve Bell. And now, I would have him stand up, but he's not here today because he was here working till about 7 o'clock this morning. And he's about to go on a two-week trip to Indiana and Michigan and Utah. And I think Martha Alicia was up all night packing. So their family was just, while you guys were sleeping, their family was serving Cornerstone. And so please be praying for them. They've got a long, tough drive today. So be praying for them. Also wanted to ask you to be praying for Dakota Khan. Dakota got baptized a couple months ago in February, and I think we talked about the fact that he studied geology in school, right? And so, you know, how many of you studied geology? Have a degree in geology, right? You probably took the class and said, nope! You know, well, that lends itself to only certain jobs in certain places. And so actually, I found out this week, actually last Sunday, unfortunately, was his last Sunday for a while. He's out in Elko, Nevada, working with mines. He has, I think, they do 8 days on and then 6 days off. And he's getting up at like 4 or 5 in the morning to get on the tram or the transit to the mine. And, you know, but he came to Yo Pro's game night this past Friday, and we had him a cake and sang He's a Jolly Good Fellow and had a good time. So please be praying for Dakota, as he's a young Christian and kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. He was here just long enough to get baptized, and now the Spirit is taking him somewhere else, you know. So be praying for him. One other piece of business. I have Sam and Elizabeth Jones. Go ahead and stand on up. So they're long-term members of Cornerstone, and had the Lord led them to worship somewhere else for a while, and they decided, you know, this is really our home, though. And so they decided to come back, and they are back with us at Cornerstone. They live way out in the, Grayson, Snellville, somewhere over there. But we're so glad to have you guys back with the fold. They have great hearts, really, really want to serve. They came in saying, what can I do? You know, so I really appreciate their hearts. We can go ahead and start the slides. Today we've got Rise Ceremony. So what that is all of our eighth graders are now moving up to high school. And so, go ahead. If you're going to high school next year, if you're a ninth grader, go ahead and stand on up. All ninth graders, rising ninth graders. Yeah, so we're going to have a really interesting teen ministry next year. We got 11 seniors, and we're going to have 11 freshmen. So we're going to be top and bottom heavy. So Kenson and Carly, get ready. You know, but later today, we're going to have a shortened service. It's going to be a short sermon, all right, a sermunion. And we're going to have a service to celebrate them. Usually we do it during service, but there are so many of them that we couldn't get the Rise Ceremony to complete it during the time of service. So we're going to end a little early today, and then we're going to have our Rise Ceremony for them right afterwards. So, that being said, we love that afterwards you love the fellowship. I love that about Cornerstone, that people hang around, and sometimes it's like, we got to say, go home. Well, today, we're saying, hey, keep your fellowship going, make it awesome, but take it outside. So, have a great time of fellowship, but we will try to clear out here a little bit earlier to give them time to set up. We're going to do the ceremony in here, because there are so many people. All right, it is summer. Keep calm, because summer is here. Now, Melissa, I'm gonna disagree with you. It ain't, 12 or however many more days. Summer is here. All right, if you've been outside at all today, or this week, you know that summer is here. And with summer, what generally happens is a lot of change and transition, right? So I'm really excited. A lot of things we got going on this month. Obviously, we said we have men's midweek. This week, we're having a blood drive in 3 weeks. You've probably seen the signs in the bathroom and on the doors. Jim Albert's going to be preaching on Father's Day. I'm really, really excited. Carly and her dad are going to be doing communion on Father's Day, and they've got a song they're going to be doing for us on Father's Day together. So that her dad, Buzz, is going to come on over from Northview. That's going to be great. At the end of this month, Steve Gooch is going to be preaching on June 30th. So we've got a lot of transition. Matter of fact, we were talking about the fact that we've had about three different, Isaac said, we've had three summer kickoffs so far this year. We had a party on a Wednesday, then we had a camping trip, and then this past Saturday, we went out to the park, McDaniel Farm Park, right across the street, and we had just a great time with all of the Edge and Gravity families out there. It was just so much fun. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but I just appreciate everyone coming out and just having a good time. Sometimes we just want to have a good time together. We want to do life together. And it was just so encouraging. We played a cornhole tournament, and I have to sadly report that Chloe and I did not win the cornhole tournament, but I can say at least we were beat by the folks that did win. So Luke and Tyler, congratulations. I heard they won the tournament. So that's awesome. But when you think about the fact that summer is here, it means a lot of different things. It means the kids are home from school, which Melissa's celebrating. There's some other folks that are like, "But my pantry's gonna be empty." Jamie's shaking her head. She's got three boys. She knows the pantry's gonna be a little more empty. Vacation. You know, Steve Bell's going on vacation. People are going on vacation. We got Swamp coming up. This week, it's already starting. Camp Swamp. You got people swimming. Some of us are gonna get, not all of us, but some people, teachers perhaps, are going to get to sleep in a little bit later, which will be great. One cool thing is there'll be less traffic. for everybody that's got to fight that Atlanta traffic, there's going to be less of it. So, amen. But the thing about when you have a change in your routine, some of us can handle it well, and some of us don't. I'm one of those guys, I like to know my schedule. I like to know when I'm gonna do this, when I'm gonna do that, to set it up and to sort of have a routine. And you just sort of get in your routine once, holidays are over, you get January to May, and suddenly school's out and you've gotta change all over again. And sometimes that's fun, but sometimes it can be daunting. Sometimes change can really throw us for a loop. But the one thing I think about when it comes to change is how we handle it is gonna really boil down to one question. If you'll go to the next slide. Do you trust him? Because the only true constant, I guess there are two. There are two true constants. God is constant. He's unchangeable. He lives in unapproachable light. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the other constant is change. If you think about how God even designed the world, there are four seasons. In Georgia, sometimes it feels like there's two. There's hotter and less hot, But there are four seasons. So every year, we have this cycle of birth, flourishing, the waxing and waning, and then death and rebirth. And so we get to see this constant change over and over again. But how we handle change is really going to boil down to the question, do you trust him? Today, I'm not really going to preach at you. I just want to teach you through three quick scriptures that are showing a really cool story. If you'll turn over to Luke chapter 9, a really cool story about Jesus sometimes throwing a little loop in there, sometimes changing things up. Even though he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, our circumstances are not, right? Some of us, you're going to have a high schooler for the very first time. We're in that boat. We're in that boat. Kenton's in that boat. It's like, what does that mean? What is that going to look like? I just got used to them getting on the bus at 8:30. And now, they can get up, sleep in till 7 something. But now, Chloe, you got to get up at like 5 or 6 in the morning. And so that change in your life can really throw monkey wrenches in your plans. We're going to look at sometimes even Jesus is that change agent. Over in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, it says this. Summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, he told them. No staff, no traveling bag, no bread, no money. And don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there. Pardon me. Stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you when you leave that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. A few chapters earlier, when Jesus first called his disciples, he told them, come follow me and you're going to be fishers of men. Or if you come after me, you're going to catch people alive, is what he said. And this is actually the first time that they sort of get to do so. He had spent, you know, we estimate about over a year just walking with them. They were watching him heal other people. They were listening to him preach in the synagogue. They were watching him perform miracles. But they were really just sort of in observing mode, just sort of like the assistants. And then at this point, Jesus finally sends them out. The Bible talks over and over again about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. It says he was powerful in word and deed, in speech and action. Paul wrote to Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine. So there's something about these guys going out to preach the good news and heal the sick. There's something where God wants us to be the type of people that we're telling the good news, but we're also being the good news. Healing the sick, serving the poor. It's got to be both and, right? It's not enough just to sort of know the right doctrine and then live however you want to. You could have the Bible memorized, but that doesn't mean much if you can quote a lot of scripture, but you don't live it. And then vice versa, there are a lot of good people out in the world that they help old ladies across the street, right? They walk the neighbor's dog, or, you know, if a kid was sick or hurt, they'd help out. And they're good people. But we can't get to heaven just by being good. You got to believe and trust in Jesus. And so it's both. And so finally, these guys get to go out and do it on their own. And it's so interesting because God will send you out prepared, even if you don't think so. He tells them, take nothing for the road. So I'm basically going to send you out. I don't want you to take anything. No staff. What was a staff used for back then? Well, to warn off predators or robbers. It was sort of your sense of protection. He says, don't worry about protecting yourself. Take no traveling bag. So anything you just think, oh, these are my must-have items. For us today, it'd be our phone, right? It'd be like, go out without your phone and your wallet. Ladies, don't take your purse. I want you to go spend the day and not take any of these things. He tells them, no bread. And again, this is a time when there are no pop-up restaurants, no Uber Eats, no grocery stores. Take no bread on your journey. Take no money. Go out with no money. And don't even take an extra shirt, which for us is kind of like, okay. But imagine these guys are going to be walking for miles and miles, one outfit. You're sitting at dinner, you spill some wine on that shirt. Well, it's just stained shirt you got to go out in. Don't take an extra shirt. And so from our eyes, we can look at this and say, they're unprepared. Why would you send them out like that? They had to be totally reliant and totally trusting in God. And he says, if some people welcome you, stay at that house. So I imagine they went to some towns and they got welcomed. And somebody took them in and gave them food and maybe sewed up their shirts if it got a tear in it and helped them out with their needs. God was definitely going to take care of their needs. But it says sometimes some people aren't going to welcome you. So that means that they sometimes went into a town, tried to preach to people, and got no food, no shelter. They weren't working, no money. There are plenty of nights, I imagine, these guys, when they went out, they went to bed hungry. They went to bed cold. They went to bed exhausted and feeling like, I can't do this. But Jesus had said, trust in me. The question for them was, did they trust him? For us, it can sort of be the same way. Do we trust Jesus? When we go out and live our lives, do we go out and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God because we trust that God is going to take care of us? Even when it's difficult, even when life throws you a curve, even when you feel like, I don't have everything I need, do you trust him? Do you believe that he's going to take care of your needs? You know, I appreciate Linda Rollins. Linda had a tough year. She had a fall early this year. She was in the hospital for some time. And I remember when I went to go visit her in the hospital, she was like, "Do you need anything to eat? Are you okay?" And for those of you that went to visit, I'm sure it was the same boat. She was more worried about us than about herself. And, you know, she comes back, and it's been so amazing. She's got this neighbor, Tony. Tony's been coming out to church. I had a chance to get with Tony and grab lunch with him. She invited out Victor and Lucia, some of her other neighbors. They came out to church. We had breakfast this week. And she's just saying, "I'm going to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God." Despite the rough year that she's had. Despite there being some situations where she might have felt like, "I don't have everything I need." But God has been taking care of her. Yesterday, I had a chance to, Steve and I and Tony and several of you, I saw Melissa over there, we went to the funeral for Dan Clemens. Those of you who know Dan Clemens, he lost his battle with pancreatic cancer, but he gained the Lord. And his funeral was so amazing and encouraging. I mean, it just blew me away, all the stories that people shared. And it wasn't just about his singing, which was marvelous. You may remember in the first 6 months or so, I came over here, Dan and Phyllis came over to lead singing for Cornerstone. But one of the parts that was so amazing to me was Tony McClain gets up and shares his story about Dan reaching out to him when he was working at Sears, and he met this guy, and he just, you know, he bought whatever he needed to buy, and then he went away. And then a few minutes later, Tony got a tap on the shoulder, and this guy says, "Hey, I just want to invite you out to church." And it's funny because Tony tried to give him a wrong number, but in his confusion or being flustered at the situation, he actually gave him the right number. And, you know, I just think that was God working. And they basically adopted Tony into their family. And he found Jesus because Dan was going out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Do you trust God enough to tell people about him? The thing is, we get to stand on the shoulders of giants. These guys were going out, and people hadn't even heard of Jesus. They were trying to go out and tell people that had no idea who he was, that, hey, the Messiah's here. We meet people, and it's so amazing, you know, in this country, a lot of people already sort of grow up believing in God. A lot of people grow up at least hearing about God, or maybe have read the Bible a little bit. You have a great starting point with people here. But are we going out to teach and proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick? It's so interesting. This plan worked out so well, they come back and they report that it went well. Jesus says, "I'm going to do this again with the 72. In chapter 10, he sends out the 72 with the same instructions. Don't take anything. They come back and says, in their joy, they're like, "Even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus tells them, "Don't worry about that. Don't rejoice because of that. Rejoice because your name is in the book of life, because your names are written in heaven." So regardless of what we have going on in our lives, we need to be able to rejoice that our names are in the book of heaven. Do you trust that he's guarded that for you? So many Christians live in this, what I call hopscotch salvation. It's like, I have a bad week, and then I feel like I'm not saved. And then I have a good week, and I feel like I'm good. And then, no. Do you trust him? He died on a cross for you. He is able to bring you completely to him. Right? I think there's a verse in Philippians 1, he talks about, the joy I had at first, God is able to bring it to completion, the salvation that he's got for you. The good work that he started in you. He is able to do that. Do you trust him? And so it's so interesting because they have this plan. They go out with nothing, and it seems to go well. And then over in Luke chapter 22, in the middle of the Last Supper, after having a discussion about who's the greatest, and these guys taking oaths, declaring they'd be ready to go with Jesus to prison and death, Jesus brings up something from years ago. And this is remarkable because a lot of times, particularly in the Gospels, they have these sort of self-contained little narratives. What I mean is, Jesus will say, hey, he'll curse that fig tree, and then the next day on the way back, they'll talk about the fig tree. Or when he fed the 5,000, and then he talks to them about the yeast of the Pharisees, they'll bring it right back up, within the same context. But this is one of the remarkable times where Jesus talks about something that had happened years before. They're sitting at the Last Supper. He's talking about what's going to happen to him. They start arguing about who's the greatest. They start declaring that they'd go with him to prison and to death. He tells Peter, hey, you're going to deny me. And then in the middle of this conversation, in the middle of this intimate and intense dinner, Jesus says this in Luke 22 and verse 35. He also said to them, when I sent you out without money bag, traveling bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Not a thing, they said. Then he said to them, but now, whoever has a money bag should take it, and also a traveling bag. And whoever doesn't have a sword should sell his robe and buy one. For I tell you, what is written about me must be fulfilled. And he was counted among the lawless. Yes, what is written about me is coming to its fulfillment. Look, they said, Lord, they said, look, here are two swords. That's enough, he told them. And so Jesus said, hey, you remember a couple years ago when I sent you out? Did you lack anything? And all they could remember saying is, no, nothing. Now again, I'm sure they had some, like I said, sleepless or hungry nights. I'm sure they had some trials and tribulations. And they said, but we didn't lack anything. And then Jesus says, well, you know what? I'm going to change that up a little bit here. I'm going to change the plans. You look at the next slide. Jesus is basically saying, keep calm. We have a change of plans here. Now when you go out, I want you to take this. And I want you to take that. And so here's the deal. Sometimes the plan will change. It doesn't mean God has changed. He understands that your circumstances sometimes change. In Hebrews, it talks about he is not unable to sympathize with us because he's been through the same things we've been through. So he gets that life gets hard. He understands that there are stages of life, and sometimes you can do a little bit less. Virgil talked about it. Sometimes you can do a little bit more. And God has the kind of grace to understand that sometimes things are gonna change. And so the question for you is, when God changes, or not when God changes, when things change, do you still trust him? You know, it might be that, okay, you aren't used to being in a life group. You're used to just sort of coming to church on Sundays, and that's how you sort of get your feel for the week and you leave. You know, here at Cornerstone, we really want everybody to be in a life group. When you're able to get in an intimate setting in somebody's home, or some groups even meet here on Sundays in the afternoon, and really let people really get to know you. If you've never done that, maybe you should try the change. You know, what would that look like if you had deep, intimate relationships with people and it wasn't just on Sundays? You know, our life groups, we want to go after having them meet consistently. It may be not something you're used to. I tell the leaders, pick a day and just stick with it. Sometimes people will be able to make it, sometimes they won't. This past Friday, the Yo Pros, we only had, I don't know, 6 or 7 people. And we had one of the best times we had with this small group. We just had a fun time. Don't just cancel it because a couple of couples can't make it or some people can't make it. If it's just you and one other couple, well, have a great discipling time. Have a great prayer time. Have a dinner with those folks. We really need to have the type of relationships that are close. Do you trust him enough to trust his people, to let them in your life? Sometimes things are gonna change. We have to trust that God is still in control. It's very interesting. I won't get into why he buys a sword, why he tells them to buy a sword. Scholars have debated over that. Was he telling them they're gonna need to protect themselves? Did he tell them they're gonna need to fight? Was he telling them they're gonna need to, you know, some of them were probably thinking, this is the time where we're gonna overthrow the Romans. Yeah, we got swords. And later down in this chapter, at the end here, it comes back up. We'll close out here before we take the Lord's Supper. It says, while he was still speaking, suddenly a mob came, and one of the 12 named Judas was leading them. He came near Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those around him saw what was going to happen, they asked, Lord, should we strike with the sword? Then one of them struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded, no more of this. And touching his ear, he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a criminal? Every day while I was with you in the temple, you never laid a hand on me, but this is your hour and the dominion of darkness. So obviously Jesus was not starting a revolution in a physical sense. He didn't intend for them to fight with swords. He wasn't about to overthrow the Romans. And so a lot of times God will give us things and we may or may not know what to do with them. These guys didn't know what they actually were meant to do with these swords. And so they strike with them, and Jesus is like, no, that's not what I meant. So maybe they are going to have to defend themselves. We don't know. Maybe this is just about fulfilling that scripture about he will be counted among the lawless because these guys had swords. But ultimately, what happened is they strike with these swords because they didn't trust him. They were sleeping in the garden when they should have been praying because the body was willing, but the spirit is weak. And so they react out of fear instead of out of faith. And so they all eventually end up, hours after swearing they would go with him to prison and death, they run and flee. But as we take communion today, I want you to think about, we serve a God that allowed his son to be killed, even though he could have stopped it. We serve a God whose son would heal the ones trying to arrest him. I mean, you think about it. Peter was not aiming for that guy's ear. He was trying to kill him. He just missed. Kind of like me in cornhole. Just missed sometimes. You're trying to get it in there. He just missed and cuts off the guy's ear. And Jesus says, not this. This is not what I mean. Picks up his ear and heals him. Do you trust me, Peter? And so my encouragement today is, sometimes you're going to be sent out without a bag, without a purse, without money. Sometimes you're going to feel like I have nothing but the Lord. That's enough. Sometimes he is going to give you, especially here in America, we've got a lot of what we need and a bunch of what we want too. But what do you do with that? Is your money used to help the poor? The extra food, do you give to the hungry? The home you have, do you let people stay at your house when they come in from out of town? Do you host people? The clothing. How often are you giving away clothing to somebody that doesn't have it? And so my encouragement today is whether, kind of like what Paul said, whether we're in plenty or in very little, to trust him. Because he was the type of Savior that would die for those that were trying to kill him. Let's take communion. Let's pray.